Last Sunday, I had the privilege of celebrating two baptisms here in the narthex at this parish, and it was a real joy. Doing baptisms is one of my favorite things I've been able to do as a deacon. There's so much joy, there's so much happiness, but my first baptism was a little different than this. I was enjoying a nice leisurely Thursday afternoon over the summer at my summer parish back in Indiana, and I got a phone call from a man at Riley Children's Hospital in Indianapolis. There was a young girl who was born with trisomy 18, also called Edwards disease. It's a rare genetic disease that is normally fatal. It's very rare that the baby is even born. So her name was Josie. Josie was my first baptism. I went down to Riley Hospital, shaking, nervous. I've never done a baptism before. But it was an amazing experience that I was able to, through the grace of God, bring joy into that dark situation. And I stayed in touch with the family and found out just a couple of weeks ago that Josie had passed, that she had gone to join her Heavenly Father. With all this going on and talking with the family, there's a lot of questions that were asked about this. And really the question, what is the meaning in all of this? Why was Josie born? Why with this disease? Why all these things? The sad fact is that most babies who have trisomy 18 are aborted by their parents. But her parents allowed her to be born and to be baptized. What is the meaning in all of this? And it becomes abundantly clear to us, to me, as after reflection and her family, that the meaning is that her life has meaning because God willed her to exist. That God loved her into existence. That she has a Father in heaven who cares for her immensely, more than we ever could. And so even those few days, those few weeks that she was here with us, was a gift. That is the gift of life, brothers and sisters. Today, this weekend is Respect Life Sunday. And as a preacher of the gospel, it's my duty and my joy to proclaim to you the gift of life, the gift that we have in every human life. In February of this past year, Pope Francis made a very strong statement regarding abortion. This is what he said. Abortion is not the lesser of two evils. It is a crime. It is to throw someone out in order to save another. That's what the mafia does. It is a crime and absolute evil. He goes on. It is an evil in and of itself, but it is not a religious evil in the beginning. No, it is a human evil. Then obviously, as with every human evil, each killing is condemned. These are strong words from our Holy Father. The message is clear. Abortion is an absolute evil, meaning that it's not justifiable in any circumstance. It saddens me that this message has to be proclaimed in a country that says it respects our right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But really, that has come to mean for only the few, and not all. This is no mere political issue anymore. It is an issue that touches the very core of what it means to be a human being. So it's something we must care deeply about. Today I want to talk about what we do. How do we approach this issue? And St. Paul in our second reading gives us a great roadmap. He says, "For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but a spirit of power, love, and self-control." What a great roadmap as we approach this issue. First, a spirit of power. St. Paul says it clearly, "Do not be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord." We cannot be ashamed of who we are, of what has been entrusted to us. And we have to recognize the facts. We have to live with eyes open so we see clearly. We live in a culture of death. This has been the message of the church through Pope John Paul II, Pope St. John Paul II, and many others. We live in a culture of death. It pervades our entire life through television, movies, social media, even our schools. It is manifested through an obsession of violence, the objectification of women, and the rise of depression rates, especially among the young. Father Saunders last night spoke of teen depression and teen suicide rate recently, how it's increased dramatically. This is terrible. We have to open our eyes to the reality. The content of our culture's message is that life is measured not by who we are, but by our utility to society. Whether we are useful, whether we can do something. Our value comes from what we can produce, not who we are. This is not the message of Jesus, and we know this. Our former Pope Benedict XVI gives us a great line to describe what we really are. He says, "Each of us is the result of a thought of God. Each of us is willed. Each of us is loved. Each of us is necessary." That is beautiful. That's the truth. We are necessary because God loved us into existence. For this reason, brothers and sisters, we cannot stand idly by. We cannot ignore the facts. We cannot allow abortion clinics to be built in our cities. We cannot allow Planned Parenthood, the greatest supporter of abortion, to wield its influence unchecked. We cannot allow our schools to fill our children with lies about the safe option of abortion, quote unquote. Now is not the time for silence. We have been given a spirit of power, Christ's power. And that for that reason we cannot fear, because he is the one who gives us this power to proclaim the truth. He is the one who will give us strength and win the victory. If we just begin, if we start to do this, he will do the rest. He has given us a spirit of love, says St. Paul. Despite the great urgency that this issue demands, we cannot forget that it also demands this spirit of love, charity. Because the victims of abortion are not only those infants who are killed in the womb, but also the women who, unfortunately, a lot of times are forced or pressured into having these abortions. They are the victims too. Many of them have been pressured unwillingly into this situation. While we fight against abortion with one hand, we have to remember to welcome back those who have committed this evil, this crime, with the other hand, because they need our help too. We can't forget that. Jesus is able to forgive all our sins. He gives us the sacrament of confession so that we can be assured of this forgiveness. Our message must be one of love. After all, the reason that we oppose abortion is because it takes a human life, one whom God loves. And God loves everyone. He loves each of us in a unique way. And so those who commit abortion, we need to remember the Father's mercy for them as well. The spirit of love. And then finally, we have to have a spirit of self-control. What does this mean? I think back to Plato, and he talks about how a good society cannot exist without good people. We need good people to change our world, brothers and sisters. In the face of such strong opposition from our culture, we need to focus our strength on becoming good people, people who respect and love what is true, good, and beautiful. St. Paul says in Romans 6, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Life, happiness, goodness. To be truly free and open to life, we need to live a virtuous life, a life of self-control, a life that is not governed by passions, but by the truth of Jesus Christ. Our witness will be so much greater if we ourselves are free. If we are striving for holiness, we can change our culture by becoming better people. And it starts here, in the everyday, the day-to-day life. People who are alive and aflame with the love of Jesus. To bring this all together, I want to turn it around. I think that we all see this. We see the great evil of abortion and all the crimes against life, euthanasia. But the question comes back to us, and it's this. Do I tolerate death to reign in me? The death of sin. Do I tolerate that to reign in my life? Because if I do, I'm not living the culture of life. Sin kills us. It kills the life of God in our soul. The problem of abortion and all the rest did not come from the top down. It came from our culture, from our own sinfulness as a culture. And all of us, in some measure, participate in that, whether we support abortion or not. When we sin, we affect the whole. There is death in our human society. It's the type of measuring, this type of utilitarian thinking that God does not tolerate, and that we must not tolerate in ourselves. So, brothers and sisters, because we are made in God's image and likeness, we are truly alive. That's the truth. Does my life correspond to that truth? Does my family's life correspond to that truth? Do I live this joy not because of what I can do, but because of who I am? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Start with your family. Teach them the truth about Jesus and the truth about our culture. Again, we can't live in darkness or blindness. If your children are being misled in school, then do something about it. Our government school system can be frustrating at times, but we have a right to stand up and to change that. Jesus Christ has given you a spirit of power. Fathers especially, this is your role, to stand up for what is true. And it begins here, in our heart, to reject the status quo of the culture. This is where the culture of life begins, when the hearts of believers are set on fire with the love of God. And if you don't know where to start, start right now, right here. Because God is about to dwell among us in the Eucharist. He wants to enter into your life. He wants to set you on fire. He wants to give you life. And if you have life, the world will have life. He who is life itself will be your life if you let him in.